Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
About getting financing for your small business, I have one of the experts with us right now. His name is Harold Lacy. He's a good friend. He's been with us several times on the show before. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Harold has helped more than 700 businesses find their dreams through his 25 years of experience in and intimate relationships with the U.S. Small Business Administration. He's also a former banker. He's a proven expert on giving you an extensive he will give you an extensive bonus resource guide complete with the names, addresses, and phone numbers that will help you start, manage, and finance your business right in your area. His book is called Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. It's an outstanding book. We've talked about it on the show many times before. Harold, welcome back.
Jim, it's always a pleasure.
It's good to have you with us, sir. And you know, Harold, one of the things that I get more email on than anything is how do I get my business capitalized? And unfortunately, a lot of them are from people who have not even started their company, and they have a very poor business plan if they have one. They have an idea. You'd be surprised how many email I get where they just have an idea, and they're already looking for investor capital. I mean, they haven't proven anything. They haven't proved themselves. They haven't demonstrated that their business model will work, or that it even can work, that they are the people who can do this, and yet they're already out looking for capital. And I have to sort of get after them a little bit and tell them that they've got to put a little bit of their own money where their mouth is.
Yeah, and it's really in their best interest to hear from people such as yourself and myself to get them on track, because the biggest mistake they want to make is to be able to, let's say, take some of their own money or someone else's money and go into an idea that wasn't well researched, mm-hmm. documented, and to find out that it didn't work and they lose their money, and then the traumatic effects of losing a business take hold, and that's not a pleasant scene either.
Well, I think what happens is people want to go from 0 to 60 in about 10 seconds. And one of the things that I try to do, and I know you have some stories along these lines, one of the things that I try to do on the show is introduce them to people who are successful, who are living the dream that these other people would like to live. But I want these people, and I have them tell my audience. For example, I've got one guy, Mark Allen, out in California. When he joins me, I like to make him tell us the story about his 5-year plan that he developed when he was 30. Took him 10 years to work his 5-year plan.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. And people don't like to hear that, because what happens is they find themselves in a little bit of a crisis, a little bit of a panic situation, and they want to be a small business owner right now. And it really takes time to do it right, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and people put themselves under a lot of pressure too by telling some of their friends and relatives about this new business idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens next time they run into them and say, well, how's it coming? And they feel that pressure, like,
right.
Well, it's not open yet. And people look at them like, well, it must not be viable. And they put a lot of pressure on themselves without
mm-hmm.
being that patient, plant the seed, farmer type of mentality.
Yeah. One of the things that I'd like to do, I want us to talk about angel investors this hour. I know that's what you've got on your mind. But before we do, I want to read an email that I got from a lady in Maryland. And she says, Dear Jim, first of all, allow me to thank you for your show. I'm a newcomer to the Maryland area and discovered it by accident a few weeks ago. She said, and she says, I've not stopped listening to it since. And she's listening over WMET, my station there in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and at the great station there in Gaithersburg. We appreciate them. And then she says, your show has been a godsend in terms of providing me with appropriate encouragement and valued information. My question regards opening a bed and breakfast. And she says, I'm not a homeowner, do not own a home yet. I'm still very much in the research stage. Could you put me in touch with someone who might know whether both mortgage and startup capital can be tied together in an SBA loan? That's kind of a tough question, but what are your thoughts on that?
It's very difficult, if impossible, to combine a startup working capital loan into a mortgage loan, because they're two different animals. And if you dissect the two things she's talking about, those are viable requests, even for a startup and even for someone who doesn't own their home, because the mortgage loan, my recommendation would be to contact a mortgage broker who works with a number of mortgage sources and lenders that specialize in particular areas, such as a bed and breakfast, that mm-hmm. are willing to loan a higher ratio than, say, a traditional lender or her local banker. That's the way to attack the mortgage loan aspect. With the startup capital, that's going to have to be worked out with a variety of sources, possible sources. One could be the bank, but then you're going to have the challenge of being a startup, and you better have a strong financial statement and some collateral. Probably more viable is a combination of using some angel investors, people that would be looking at this type of investment. There's a lot of interest in bed and breakfast. People that are using them are very familiar with them and are very fanatical about seeing more of them getting started.
One of the things, though, if you bring an angel investor into a scenario like that, if and this lady says that she's going to live in the bed and breakfast, mm-hmm. which is fairly typical,
mm-hmm.
Probably most people who run bed and breakfast live on the premises. But if an angel investor gets involved, they're going to want, as collateral, they're probably going to want that real estate as collateral.
Absolutely.
So that means that if your business fails and there's a foreclosure, you not only lose your business, you lose your home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to think about there. Well, you know, the it is possible to go and get a commercial loan for that real estate and not even have a home mortgage. You've got a business mortgage as a commercial loan for that property because it's going to be your business. It just so happens that you carve out a place to live there. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to talk about that just a little bit more when we come back, Harold. We've got to take a break right now. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Harold Lacy, author of Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money, is our special guest and our good friend. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question for us, give us a call. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. 888-822-8255. If you have a question that you'd like to ask us about getting financing, getting finding capital, either startup, working capital, or whatever for your small business. And Harold Lacy is our special guest. Harold's a good friend, and he's been with us several times before, and he's the author of Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. Harold, tell us where they can get your book.
Sure. They can get it through Amazon. They can get it through Walden Books, Barnes & Noble, all the local chain stores, plus mm-hmm. the independents. It's got excellent distribution, so it's available.
Author is Harold R. Lacy, and the book is Green with, there's a bunch of money, bunch of money on the front of it. So you can, a bunch of $20 bills and $1 bills, $10 bills on the front. So a lot of currency on the front there. So that'll help tip you off what it looks like. Harold, I want to finish up this email that I've received from the lady in Maryland. And she was talking about she would like to go into the bed and breakfast business. And one of the things that she asks also, you and I pretty much have agree that she's not going to be able to get an SBA loan, although SBA will make real estate loans.
So make real estate loans if you're adding improvements to it.
Right.
It's a working capital loan by itself. It's still a separate issue. Especially for a startup.
Are there any minority, what about some of the minority plans that they've got but you've got to have cash flow, don't you, to be able to justify that? Are you familiar with the minority program?
A lot of the programs that the local economic development agencies and some of the minority programs that are funded are still looking for existing businesses primarily. They are getting into some of the startups if that person has some previous business experience,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily in that particular business that they're starting, but has previous entrepreneurial or business experience.
Right. One of the things that she asks is, can I apply for an FHA loan with the same purpose in mind? And I don't think so either.
No. Even tougher with FHA because the requirements are.
One of the things that you might be able to do, this lady might be able to do, is if the home is in a historic district, some areas, some municipalities are able to tap into federal funds for historic renovation. And because I did that once, and I was able to get a loan over 10 years with an interest rate that was about half of what it would have been at the bank. So that might be an area that she could go in. Another thing that I recommended to her when I responded to her email in writing was that she doesn't have any bed and breakfast experience, and so I recommended that she perhaps she goes to work for a bed and breakfast and get a little bit of experience, find out more about what she has to do, and as you were saying a minute ago, with that experience in her business plan, it might be easier for her to get a bank or an angel investor or somebody like that.
They look at it entirely different, because when you have that experience and being, as you described, some type of an apprentice type of program, just to spend some time to see what the back room looks like and the
right.
negative side of running it is a big eye-opener, but it's also a tremendous learning opportunity, like going to school.
Exactly. All right, talk to us now about angel investors. Let's get right into the angel investor subject. What is an angel investor?
Angel investor is someone who provides financing either through an ownership in the company or either providing loans to the business that is an individual usually. It could be a group of people, but usually it's an individual, and it's someone that has accumulated a large amount of money either through retirement or inheritance. Usually it's because they've sold their business. And the one driving thing that they have is that although they have money and they've done well financially in their life, they miss the action of identifying with an existing business. And a lot of these angels, too, feel the obligation to give back to an entrepreneur that is starting up the ladder that they started up 20, 30, 40 years ago. They feel that obligation that they need to give back some of their talents, and they do it through the money.
But now, sometimes when people say give back, when some people hearing you say that, and I know what you mean. Some people, when they hear you say that, the uninitiated think along the lines of charity, and they think, "Hey, this you mean that's like found money, right?"
Like people think with the mini SBA. I mean,
yeah.
Like, well, it's taxpayer
right.
money, so.
But it's not like that, folks. These people, most of these people, didn't acquire the money that they had to invest in your business by being dumb. These people earned it the hard way. Most of them did, and so they're going to look at your plan very hard. I want to talk about that when we come back, folks. It's 29 after. Harold Lacy is our special guest, the author of Other People's Money. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend Harold Lacy. Harold has been with us lots of times before, helping us to understand how to, and this is the title of his book, folks, How to Finance Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. And it's an outstanding book. And one of the things, Harold, that I really like about your book is the back of the book is a tremendous resource, folks. It's called Financial Resource Guide, and it's got the places in every state in the union where you can go, including the name, the address, and the phone number of all the different places in every state that you can go to find out how to get financial assistance, to get help for your small business, all the SBDCs, the SBA offices, on and on and on. This is an outstanding resource, Harold. And I recommend you folks check that out. It's worth the price of the book just for that, if nothing else. Harold, we were talking about angel investors, and you were telling us a little bit about how those people came to be, how they got their money, and some of the reasons, some of their motivations for getting involved again in reinvesting their wealth back into the marketplace. Some of them do feel the need to give things back, but they're very judicious in the way they do that, aren't they?
Absolutely. They came up the road of being astute business people, and that's still in their blood. And when we talked about and mentioned about that they have that obligation or that feeling of giving back, not so much the money. That still ties to a form of either a loan or an investment, and they expect that to be returned. But what they add is a bonus that you can get from your banker or your local SBA or a lot of other financing sources is their obligation or their feeling of giving back information and wanting to help, to be an onboard advisor as you dictate, as you request them, and that's the key.
Yeah,
that you're still in control.
Well, that's the key, and that happens at the beginning during the negotiation stages, doesn't it? Because you may be able to work with an angel investor and you may not. I mean, you may be the kind of person that you know, some people need capital, but they also need a big brother. They need a mentor. Some people may need a mentor, but they're not, they just can't work with one because they their ego won't let them.
Absolutely.
And some angels want to be involved, and some angels don't want to be involved.
Right.
So you got to work all that out, don't you?
Good angels and bad angels.
Yeah, tell us what a bad angel is.
Bad angel is someone who, when you're looking for a particular angel investor, sign of a bad angel is someone who does not want to be tied down to a written agreement as far as with the role that they play in the business. A good angel, and because it's your business, there needs to be a written understanding at the beginning before the money's funded on the role of the angel. And as you mentioned, Jim, some people, they want a active or semi-active role on the part of the angel investors. Others want to be strictly on an on-call basis and don't want them around. That needs to be agreed to up front. And a bad angel is someone who does not want to put things like that in writing that has the potential of just being on your back and being in your way down the road.
Well, and getting involved with employees, getting involved with vendors and customers, and just generally mucking things up. And if you've got someone who is, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking, Harold, what it would sound like if you were meeting a bad angel. Here's what it might sound like. Oh, don't worry about me. I'm retired. I'm kind of, you know, I'm ready to, I'm out to pasture. You know, I just want to, let's just cut this deal and you go make some money and don't worry about me. You know, you don't have to put all this in writing. That's what a bad angel probably sounds like, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're not bad in that they have bad intentions, but it has bad results.
Right.
And that's what you want to stay away from, and that's why I use the term to differentiate between the good angel who knows previous experience in the entrepreneurial business world that you need to have things in writing.
One of the things that I've seen, Harold, is I've seen people who made a gazillion dollars in one thing, making this one widget better than anybody else. They sold their business for a million times earnings or whatever, and they made lots and lots of money. And then they thought that they could go and do, they thought that this obviously meant they were very smart.
Right.
And they thought that, you know, well, if I can do it for me over here, then I can do it over there. And then so they invest in your business. And if you're not running that business the way they think that it ought to, typically those people, it's not uncommon for those kinds of people to be a little bit of a control freak, isn't it?
Absolutely. They want to step in and take it over. And that is another sign of a bad angel. And that's why it's so important when you're interviewing not to be caught up with the idea and focused on the money, but also take a look at how the chemistry is and what you can gain, because the most successful businesses that I've seen are ones that are started when someone has different talents, such as one is sales and the other one is financial. The big problems are when they're both from the same arena and have the same thoughts. There's nothing new, and they're fighting all the time of how things should be implemented.
Well, one of the things I want to do when we come back after this next break, Harold, is talk about the different levels of that a person can be associated with a business and how you can help that define how your angel works with you. Stay with us, folks. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Harold Lacy is our special guest. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show, put the words all together, and add the normal stuff on the front and the back. And Harold Lacy is our special guest. He's our good friend and the author of Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. Harold, you've got a website. Talk to us about it.
The Money Institute is in the process of being constructed, but it's...
It's not up yet?
Not up yet.
Okay.
No, we have
email.
A couple of components are still being put together.
All right. Give us your email.
Email is hallacy@aol.com.
All right. And phone number. Someone would like to contact you.
303-526-7875.
Now, tell us why someone might want to contact you. You do coaching, don't you?
Do coaching, working with a lot of small business and entrepreneurs to help guide them through some of the challenges that they face, not only with the finances, but just in running a business. And as we know, finances, like, there's always different aspects that come up. It's a never-ending challenge.
And you help them with that virtually, too, don't you? I mean, people
Absolutely.
All over the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Harold, one of the things that we were talking about is how to identify a bad angel. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'd like to get you to talk a little bit about is, you know, I was thinking of some of the ways you could sort of spot a bad angel. And to me, one of the things that I try to help people with is understanding the different layers of relationship that you can have in a business. You can be an employee. You can be an officer. You can be a shareholder. You can be a board on the board of directors. And what else? But four or five different things that you can be. And unless you're an employee or an officer, you really don't have any business in the day-to-day operation of that company. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And the key thing with what you just described, Jim, is that any of those different roles is tied directly to what your needs are. Because you might have an angel who wants to be a daily employee, but if you don't need them, it's not a good match.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to make sure what the needs are, not the wants of the angel, the needs of the company and your particular needs.
Well, can't you sort of put that down on paper and just say, okay, here are the different things. What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And without being, you know, without making any kind of accusation or anything like that, find out from that little interview what their level of interest is, and if you find out that they want to be an employee, they want to be a vice president. Then
usually it is a self-selection type process, because if you list those needs that you have in the company, the angel investor will be able to see which ones they're going to be able to match up with, and to see that maybe a number of those are really out of their field of expertise.
Yeah.
So it's a good document to work with, a very simple one of just having a list of 4, 5, 6 of your needs, and then ask the angel, which of those can you help me out with?
Well, and you'll be able to get a little bit of a tip off of how big their ego is going to be in this thing. Mm-hmm. Because if they say, well, I think I'd like to be the chairman of the board. Well, that tells you a little bit about, you know, about that. And because, and if they said, you know, and you someone might say, well, you can understand if they've got a lot of money invested, they want to have control. But you know what? They can have control with 51% and not being anything other than a 51% shareholder.
Mm-hmm.
Can't they?
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk about how you should split the deal up with an angel investor.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
A lot of people ask, what is the rule of thumb? How, if you're, as we talked about, there's two ways that you invest, either through a loan, which would be just like a loan you take from a bank, or there's repayment, collateral, and interest rate. The other type is if a stock ownership, if they have a percentage of the company, and the questions often raised, well, what is the rule of thumb for how much do you give up? Unfortunately, I don't have a rule of thumb. I've never seen one that really, I think, makes any sense. The point that you mentioned is one thing that I always caution about, Jim, is you never, ever want to give up complete ownership of over 51%,
mm-hmm.
because then you've got major problems, potentially.
But, you know, I agree with you, Harold. The thing is, though, is it depends on what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've got an idea that's not as baked as it should be, if you don't have as much experience, if you're not bringing very much cash, if it's a new business, a new startup business, and if all I'm bringing to the table is my expertise, and maybe I know all there is to know about the business, about this industry, because I've worked in it for a long time, but I'm bringing no cash, it's a startup business, and you want me to put $250,000 in there, I'm not going to give you that money without taking at least 51%.
Yeah, well, and there's ways of doing it before. Without getting the 51%, if you have an option to that's based upon performance the ownership has, let's say the 51%, but unless they reach certain criteria, that the angel investor has the option to get some of that stock shifted over to get that control that they're going to need. That I've seen that done before, to alleviate that fear, because it is a big fear and a big hurdle to get owners over that 51%. they just have a difficult time.
Well, one of the things that's really important is that exit plan.
Right.
And that's what I want to talk about when we come back. I want you to help us understand how the exit plan works, because most angel investors don't want to be in your business forever.
Right.
They want their money in and their money out with a nice return, and that's critical. Stay with us. We're going to talk about exit plans with Harold Lacy, author of Other People's Money, when we come back after these messages. We are back. It's 54 After. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our very good friend, Harold Lacy. Harold's been with us many times before talking about how to finance your business dreams with other people's money, and that just happens to be the name of his book. I recommend it to you folks. It's available in bookstores. It's available online. Anywhere else, Harold, that we can talk about?
Those are the main ones. Amazon's been a big seller for us.
Check it out. I recommend this book to you folks. It's an outstanding resource. And Harold's been very generous and very helful over the last more than a year or so that he's joined us to talk about these issues. Harold, we're talking about angel investors and how to structure a deal with an angel investor. And as we wrap up the hour, talk to us a little bit more about that.
Sure. One of the things, Jim, that we hit upon before the commercial break was exit plan too. Not only sign on to the things that they're going to be doing with the company, but the investor is going to be bringing up. And it's always impressive if you bring it up as saying, okay, here are some thoughts that I have on how to get you and your money back. Because the key thing is find out what their time frame is, but to lay it out and to let them know that you're thinking about it and and to find out and to make sure that you're on the same page with the investor as far as that window, that time frame, is that going to meet their particular needs? And then the detail, the different strategies, such as at that point maybe getting a bank loan, maybe doing some refinancing, at least purchase some of the other alternative ways of bringing some cash into the business, that which would take the investor out.
Well, you know, one of the real simple ways to look at it is if the business is as successful as you think it is, then you're going to return some capital to the angel investor. And one of the things you might say is, okay, when I have given you your money back and you have nothing in it, you have no more risk. When I've given you money back one time, maybe even with a preferential rate of return, then you know I want you to give me 1/4 or 1/5 or whatever of the stock, give that back to me.
Absolutely.
And then when I return your money to you a second time without a preferential rate of return, then give me back half of what you started out with, and so on and so forth. And you keep chipping away at it as you earn this out. And earning out is a great way to get an angel investor out, isn't it?
It's a tremendous incentive for both people. It shows progress. And if you break it up into portions or baby steps, it's a lot easier to achieve when we're setting goals to do the smaller goals, and all of a sudden those smaller goals add up to the big goals and big results.
Would you agree that it would not be uncommon for an angel to expect maybe 3 times their original investment back over the life of that investment?
No, that's not unreasonable.
And, or maybe even more. And one of the things you can't do, folks, Harold, correct me if you think I'm wrong here, one of the things you can't do, if you have an angel to come into your business, you need them, and it's not the time to be greedy.
No, especially at the beginning. Sometimes they just want to have their ego take control, and they really need that money to get things jump-started. And you have to give up some of those percentages.
Tell them what the golden rule is, Harold.
The golden rule?
He who has the gold makes the rules. Harold, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. As always, you did a great job. Thank you for helping us understand angel investors. You did well. Thank you.
Good job.
We'll see you again next time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Harold Lacy, folks, the author of Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. Check that book out. I know you're going to enjoy it. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.